nutty, but I'll try them all over again. Cognac keeps you peppy, rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink.
But it is darker in general. It's just whatever over the years, it's like it's picked up stain in a different way.
Choose the drink that pleases you.
Drink your mash. Because even like I've looked at white teeth, I wouldn't give a shit about how white my teeth are. But they all say like doesn't work on
vodka keeps on
pain's face.
Tequila makes you want to fight, but I'll try them all over again.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Popping Bottles. If you can hear my voice, then you probably know my name. It's Josh Govia. I am one half of the hosts of a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages. May I just say for the record, hashtag pop pop. Bobby is the co-host, but I'm going to let him introduce himself by the wonderful name of...
It's me, Rob Grabowski. I'm the barback. I'll get the ice. Hashtag not Rob. Hashtag ocean cold. And also hashtag pop pop to you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
Bobby, how you been?
I'm fine, buddy. How are you?
Oh, man. Living life. Every day's a gift.
Every day's a gift.
Last episode, a scoring update. Last episode, we talked about a little brisket.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And let me tell you, I cooked that brisket and have eaten around half of it.
Yeah, oh, they call me Little Brisket.
I'm Little Brisket. And I tried a little brisket, and it's tasty as hell.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Life's good with you? You've been doing well?
Yeah, man, sure.
Whoa, things just got real.
I don't have anything
new. He's choking back tears.
I'm fine. How are you, pal?
Good, but with your background and your black shirt, which, again, this is a visual medium, you kind of look like a floating head.
Oh, what if I am? That's the big thing. I just don't want to get into it.
I'm a floating head now. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a life.
It's fine. It could be in a jar.
It could be worse. It could be in a nice crystal jar.
Ooh.
Bob, were you aware this is a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages? And each episode we have a guest that brings a beverage of their choice and we talk about why they chose it.
I am very well aware of that. But occasionally our episodes differ a little bit. Is this episode different than our normal episode?
This is a different episode because...
What?
Got a whole bunch of guests, a parade, beautiful men who glisten in the sun and
shimmer. Yes, should.
Mm. We have a wonderful band making their second, all of them, it's making their second appearance on Popping Bottles from the second pilot episode, otherwise is known as number two. We have the band by the name of... Everybody say it together.
The French
champagne. French champagne.
Yay! The French champagne, while being a band, is also comprised of band members. Let's go from hat to gentleman in the room with the hat man to gentleman wearing the smart cardigan. Let's introduce ourselves.
Hi, I'm the hat man. I'm Aaron Biden.
I am next to the hat man, and I'm Nick Wilby.
Hi, I'm wearing the smart cardigan, which is a cardigan, but much more energy efficient because it's so small. And my name is Peyton Brown, a.k.a. Little Brisket.
What's up, gentlemen? Pleasure to have you on. To have you back.
Yeah, all of you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us back.
Yeah.
Wish it could be in person, but, you know, still here.
Yeah, we're still out here in the streets.
We made it. We're all alive.
That's right. Hey, that's better than 2 million Americans.
Holy cow! Yeah,
we are getting dark fast.
You real?
We decided together. Dark episode.
Dark. Let's just dive in. Fuck it.
Now, gentlemen of the band, we've invited you back onto the pod because there's some rumor that some new music by you guys will be coming out soon. Can you approve or deny this rumor?
I don't know, Nick. What do you think?
We can approve.
Okay, approve. Wow. Yeah. You said yes. I didn't know if it was going to be to deny.
I'm interested to hear because I'm in Chicago and they're in D.C. And so I...
I daily await to hear that new music's coming out from the band.
Now, Peyton, you weren't on the original French Champagne episode. You were on your own episode where you did McAllen 12 Year.
God, we got drunk that episode.
That was, man, we got drunk.
I got drunk.
Do you want to say how you've come to be, ingratiate yourself with these musical men?
How do we know what we are in this life? How do we come to find ourselves?
Leading to the darkness.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so Aaron and I know each other, and Josh know each other from way back. I mean, what's it been, 15 years now we know each other?
It gotta be. I was in the smoke-free class of 2000, so got to college a year after that.
Yeah, and Aaron was doing, had a band called Little Justice that I, they would help us, Josh and I, making music for pilots and short films and stuff that we were working on. And I would work with Aaron and his erstwhile partner sometimes with lyrics and stuff like that. And then Aaron got together with Nick, and they started making music. And when they came on the podcast last time, under the name of the French Champagne,
great name,
we had just started writing some stuff. They had been working together, and we had just started writing a couple things, maybe one and a half songs. But at that point, I was kind of like an interloper to the band. And then we went away a couple times, wrote some more music. But I think it's the important thing to be clear about is I am not myself a musician.
Instrument. You've never played any instrument in your entire life.
Well, not in a way that's recognizable.
Just as a matter of pride.
Yeah. I write lyrics principally with Aaron. And I will, I think, hum or whistle a melody. and give my a little bit of critical feedback, opinion, stuff like that. At this point, I guess I'm a full-fledged member of the French Champagne. That can speak more to this than
Hatman Aaron Blyden. Can you confirm or deny the rumor that on the show of Poppy News, an exclusive, that you're going to make Peyton Brown an official, full-fledged voting member, royalty-receiving member of the band? Is this true? Yes or no? Nick, please speak up.
Getting the blood in the mail, postal service. A little handicapped right now, but sure. If he drinks that, he's in, baby. Oh yeah, Peyton. I've considered instrumental, no pun intended, from the beginning. Like he was right after, right when we met up with you, Josh, and we did that episode. We had made a pact that we were going to finish an album. Because whatever we had written, started to write, we were like, this is a beginning of something. It's not just like a one-off thing. It seems like there's an emotional world that we had created.
There's juice.
There was some sort of concept, not like a story or anything, but there's like this concept we were working with, and we were like, we're going to finish this album. We're going to meet up in a couple of months, and we're going to write more of it. And so what we played was like the very beginning of that, like the germ of an idea that then turned into like a 3-year venture.
That's right. Yeah. This was back
45 minutes worth of material.
We recorded back in 2018. Was it like February? It was like February or March, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely wintertime. It was a long transition because when right at that time, my initial thought had been these two guys are so incredibly talented. They've made some music together. They've done some show stuff. And I was like, you guys need to make an album. And I wanted to take on like an impresario role of just sort of being a hand on their backs, pushing them forward. And then ended up
contributing a significant amount of mostly lyrical writing to the project, as well as just being, I don't know, when you're there during all those significant periods of working on stuff, it's like, oh, this is our baby now, you know?
Nick, can you confirm or deny you feel like Peyton's hand is on your back?
Oh, absolutely. Always.
Just and waiting for the right hand, push. You know,
I mean, don't worry about the other hand. I'll just say that, like, I don't know if I would do anything ever if Peyton's hand weren't on my back.
It's like, now more safety and more comfort and safety. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like Peyton's got a lot of hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I call this hand Harvey and this hand Weinstein.
Oh, God. We did get dark.
Yeah. Somebody get him a walker.
Can you say that to our show? Thanks.
You want that Oscar?
You no. better work for it. No, I want a Grammy, Mr. Harvey, Mr. Weinstein.
Well, you're going to get an Oscar.
I don't want an Oscar.
When are you going to get one?
Oh, God.
And it's going to be for best musical editing.
Oh,
well, he's Harvey Weinstein, but I think he's Harvey Fierstein.
I think he's really Harvey Fierstein.
We get those confused constantly.
It's me.
You want the roller, don't you?
I wrote the birdcage.
That guy's your
I
phone.
Lived it.
Well, the French Champagne and Bobby, we, since this is such an extraordinary episode, we're doing things a little differently today. Oh. When you were first on, you brought a delicious bottle of Veuve Clicquot. We drank it in studio. We got a little buzzed. You guys played some music, and it was a great time. But unfortunately, I don't know if anybody was aware, but 2 million Americans are dead because of a pandemic. So we are socially distanced, and we're going to do something a little different for this episode. This is the very first annual... the French Champagne Showdown, aka the Battle of Champions. Champions? Aaron, what do we say?
I think it's champions.
Champions.
Battle of Champions? Tournament of Champions?
Tournament, that's right. Tournament. Of
Champions.
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 But that just means Tournament of Mushrooms?
Yeah.
Champions.
That's how I see you all. We've each, in our own Zoom bubble, have a bottle of sparkling wine from the Champagne region of France. We are going to pop it. We're going to drink it, each individually alone. And we're going to talk about what we taste. And we're going to decide which bottle, based on everybody's reasoning and or convincing, that we are all going to agree to, even if we're not together... We're all going to buy to ring in the new year of 2022.
Yeah.
Is this correct?
It sounds right to me.
That sounds right to me. Can I say that Zoom Bubble sounds like it should be the name of a Bobby Darin song?
You can. We'll allow that.
Yeah. Cool. Don't edit that out. It's
we
important.
Won't.
Get him on the line. Is Bobby Darin available?
Hello, Bobby. Oh, God.
Aaron, Nick, write that down. That might be something.
Uh-oh. It's the third
Zoom
album.
Bubble. Ho-ho.
His hand is busy. He can't write it down.
So should we all go at different times, or should we all let's all pop at the same time, and then we'll do a little showdown and tell.
Great. No, it's always so hard to pop at the same time.
Probably.
And pop.
Oh, I don't.
Sorry. Bobby's got a Stelvin enclosure.
My Dom Perignon made it hard for me to get to my cork.
Oh,
800 years ago. So, are we ready?
Yeah, wait, no, I'm not ready.
I'm ready.
It's going to be so loud. Sorry, I've got a Magnum, but giant hand, so it looks like a normal size bottle.
Oh, right.
I'm going to point this away from my laptop. I just realized, just now.
Yeah, don't go to the
three,
screen.
3, 2, 1. Poppy New Year.
Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
That's a good
champagne smell.
It's got that real champagne smell and taste.
They look tasty from here.
All right. You got to flute it up.
You see, I did the little dog handkerchief.
Oh.
That's right.
Got a bucket of ice nearby, too?
I do.
Oh, nice.
I put salt in it.
Why? Champagne?
My roommate is rushing in to get her own glass.
Oh, you guys have the rest of the French Champagne has those nice champagne glasses that are. I've read a lot about.
I have a jar.
Ooh. A nice champagne jar?
It's a decent champagne jar.
Yeah. It's Maison du de jar.
Well, cheers, gentle friends. Here's looking up your old address.
Wait a second. Who's got the most bubbles? We should start with that because that's a way we can actually.
Ooh.
Look at my bubbles are on the move.
Oh, man. Well, we don't have flutes, too, so I feel like that's kind of like hard to assess.
That's your fuck up. We can't adjust for that.
That's true.
You should just fill them taller.
Yeah, okay.
I'll pour some right in the middle so I go.
Are you talking about shaking up the bottle?
One more.
Bubbles on the move.
Bubbles, bubbles, bubbles.
Bubbles on the move. Charles Foster Kane.
News on the go now.
Well, I like mine.
Champagne on the lees.
Mine's okay.
On the Thames?
Yeah, on the Thames. Champagne on the Thames.
Sounds like
news,
March.
Weather on the Thames.
Have you thought about an English bodice ripper called Thames Tation?
That's all I'm thinking about now.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about it.
All right, so let's go around the circle. We'll talk about how it tastes. We'll say the name of it, and I pulled up some tasting notes on the ones that we got. I think I'm missing one. But let's give it our personal rating of, what should we do it, bubbles?
Yeah.
Out of 10,
the bubbles
out of 10,
tickle my nose.
Out of 10 bubbles?
Yeah, 10 bubbles. 10 bubbles being the best, one bubble being the worst.
The worst. Well, Bob, you want to go first? Or
sure.
Go first?
So, should I tell you what kind I have?
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah, sure. So, this has been in my fridge for a few months. I don't know how it got there. And I was going to go buy some today, and my roommate went, "You got that bottle in there already?" I went, "Perfect." So this is the Le Grand Corcha. Le Grand Cordage.
Blanc de Blanc Brut.
Blanc de Blanc Brut. It is fine. I've had better champagne.
All about the way you say, if you just printed it, it would be okay.
Yeah, if you print it, and I don't know if like I don't think champagne expires. Maybe it does at some point, but also hasn't been in my fridge that long. It's fine. Like it tastes like cheap champagne that they would just pour out at like a big New Year's Eve thing where it's bottomless and like, but it's not good. It's fine.
Now
just
the winemaker
just on its own.
The winemaker says this bouquet presents hints of green apple, honeysuckle, and toasted brioche. On the palate, a delicate balance of dryness and acidity lingers with a bit of Meyer lemon, honeydew, and soft floral notes.
I do taste that apple for sure.
Oh yeah, apple?
On the first sip, it's very sour green apple. But it's fine.
It's Chardonnay, Chenin Blanc, and I think that's the mix.
How many bubbles did you give it?
I haven't given any bubbles yet. I was saving it till the end.
I
gave my personal, which is fine.
My favorite thing about that moment just now was like how we're all creatures of society that you read out the tasting notes and Rob like tasted it to like taste the tasting notes and everyone else also took a sip of their wine at the same time in exactly the way we would do if we were all drinking the same thing, but we're not.
Yep.
Let me just further, I was just like scared I wasn't gonna have anything to say too.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm doing like last minute homework. I feel like that's my
perfect. Yeah, yeah. That's perfect.
As in all tastings, you're not wrong. What you taste is what you taste.
Yeah,
Bobby's saying it tastes like cheap champagne. He's right.
I am right.
It tastes like cheap champagne to my man.
It's cheap champagne. I have added some with orange juice. Should I try that one? The little mimosa?
We'll give your bubble ratings for the plain, and then we'll get your orange ratings for the mimosa.
So I give the Le Grand Cortage, I'm gonna give it six bubbles.
Six bubbles.
Right. I think it's okay. I wouldn't say no to it, but I don't know. I wouldn't get it.
I'm going to write that down.
Six bubbles. And then with some pulp-free Simply Orange orange juice, let's give it a whirl. Oh.
That's a big glass. That's a lot of orange juice.
You can probably see it on the side.
And it's delicious.
You can barely taste that shitty champagne.
And it's perfect.
10 oranges, hands
Ten
down.
10 oranges. Here, I'm adding more champagne to this one. Da-da-da.
It got bad again.
I don't have any flute. Yeah. And actually, for mimosa, I give it 7 oranges.
All right, 6 bubbles, 7 oranges.
Yeah, it's not bad.
From the Le Grand Cortage, 7 OJs. Who wants to go next? Anybody? Show of hands.
Peyton, I'll go next.
Blyden. Hatman.
Hatman.
Hi.
Hatman Crothers.
I have... So I don't have true French champagne because I didn't shell out for it.
Hey, that's fair.
That's However, fair. I bought this for what, $17. This is called Lucien Albrecht Cremant d'Alsace, which I believe means some sort of sparkling wine from the Alsace region of France.
Oh,
it's
right near Germany.
Brut Rosé
on the border between Germany and France. It's a Brut Rosé.
Oh, smells Rosé, like, you brute.
I think it kind of smells like honey, honeysuckle, a little bit of strawberry. Maybe that's just the color that's sort of informing me of that.
Yeah.
And then when you drink it, it's like, it's quite dry, but it's still juicy. It's got like a nice bitter back end too.
Oh, okay.
And it sticks around for a little while. For the price.
In a pleasurable way.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I like a little bit of bitterness to just sort of remind me that I'm drinking booze. as opposed to just soda. Something. I think for the price, I think I'm going to give this 8 bubbles.
Oh.
8 bubbles. All right.
I think this is pretty good. I think that's a pretty high rating for
I do product. Like, I'm curious to try that. You said it was a Brut Rosé. I'm curious. I've never had that. I'd be curious to try it.
Yeah, they just let a little bit of that. I guess what happens is like with rosés, you get a little skin contact the way you make red wine. And so it gives it.
And let me tell you, Bobby loves skin contact.
Boy, do I.
He's a regular Peyton's hand on the back.
I love skin contact. Bobby loves skin.
You're going to win a Grammy.
I wanted an Oscar.
Too bad. Grammy it is.
You guys should switch clients.
What?
Blyden, you guys are OJ-less, right? Is that correct?
We are OJ-less.
No judgment. Now, just imagine it had OJ and give us your orange score.
I don't know if it would have panned out as well. I think I would have probably given it around 5 oranges. I also have the bubbles, they're working their way back up.
I get it.
I have an aversion to orange juice cocktails.
Oh,
really? Any particular
reason? Generally, it's because of the first time I got fucked up. And it was because I had screwdriver.
You got beat up by an orange?
Was it a bag of oranges?
He was raised by an orange.
Yeah. You got while the theme was playing.
Yeah. You got shot in front of your car.
The pulp seeped out. It was because I got drunk on screwdrivers the first time I got drunk. And,
sure.
And I used to love orange juice when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it ruined it for a couple of years. And even like mimosas, even something that's a little more tame, I'm not into it.
I get it.
I don't think. Yeah.
I can have like one and then I'm good. Those bottomless mimosas, get out of town. That's too much.
They're just so leave. Cheap.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I get it.
Well, they're bottomless, coffee. So yeah.
Yeah. But still, it's too much.
They're definitionally too much.
Too much.
Fresh OJ.
Rob, I'm loving that pinky up.
What'd you say?
You put the pinky up.
Well, I'm a fancy lad.
Hey, he's a classy dame.
We are.
I'm a classy dame.
Moving right along. Who wants to
move right along?
Who wants to go? I can't if nobody does. All right, I see Peyton's hand raising yours.
Yeah. So I've got this Josh Prosecco.
Oh, I'm surprised.
We talked about this.
No, I'm completely surprised. I actually don't have tasting notes on that one. But get in there. Tell us all about it.
And it's just like, yeah, I don't know much about it. I don't know much about wine in general. To me, I'm going to kind of echo what Rob was saying. It's perfectly fine. I know we're drinking different things, but it's perfectly fine. Like, it's pretty nondescript, really. Like, it's you get a lot of the usual, you know, like the green apple, I feel like, is a thing that I get in pretty much any glass of champagne.
It's bubbles, yeah.
Although
yeah.
This is Prosecco, sorry, but
that's same thing.
And it's a product of Italy, but
yeah, they don't have green apples there.
No green apples? I feel like I tasted some green apples.
You're not wrong. Whatever you taste is what you taste.
One note that I was really trying to find some nice notes to give you guys. And one note, the only one I could come up with that was like sort of out of the norm maybe is that it's kind of buttery.
A buttery.
A little bit buttery.
Nick, let me ask you this. You say you're not a wine connoisseur. We all don't believe you. But what you do know is music. What instrument would you say the Josh Prosecco is? If you had to pick any instrument, and I'll come back to you, Blyden, for the same question for yours. What instrument would you say the Prosecco is?
Ooh, that's tough.
I think you should probably drink some more.
Yeah. Okay.
The more you drink, the more your head thinks.
it would be one that you know doesn't get a lot of it would be like a more background instrument, still very functional and important. But so like let's say the bass
clarinet.
Bass clarinet, better. But bass is kind of more important than this Josh Prosecco. Okay. Maybe not more important. Maybe like bass clarinet might be a good one. You know. Although I don't know, bass clarinet might not be a good one because it's such a specific sound that like, you know, kind of it's like it'd be something that is a little bit more flavor wise might go better with something that's a little bit a little more out of the norm.
Like a tuba, but the kind you rent for school band that's not taken care of well.
Definitely. And it's playing the same thing that the trombones are playing already. So it's like
it's doing different notes, but it's like not necessarily
partier version of this trombone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead and let's get your bubble score.
Bubble score? I'm gonna give it a 5. Right down.
Okay.
5 bubs. Okay, and then using the power of imagination.
A hypothetical orange is, I would probably give it 7 because I think.
Oh, I think you're right.
Probably this is like what you want for a mimosa.
Sure. Yeah.
Robbie tied your score for orange juice.
Also, hypothetical orange is a great name for something.
Yeah, it's a band. The 4th concept album. We're just launching them right here.
Hi, I'm Donovan Jr. and this is Hypothetical Orange. And no, my father was not Donovan Sr.
Oh, God.
I want Donovan Sr.
Get on with the show.
Pretty Man Jr.
Go to hell, Mick Surley's New York. I'll play what I want.
Sir, I keep telling you, we didn't hire you. Take your accordion and leave.
Everybody knows that there's a nose inside a face.
What? Sir, please leave. You're upsetting the cooks.
Whoa. Hey, McSurley, I'm digging.
Give me a hot dog. You give me a hot dog and I'll leave.
What'd you say, like, Nick? All the characters Peyton is going to play. Yep. Like a credit list at the end, like on the actual podcast of the thing. It's like, I'm Peyton Brown as long list. Extra voices provided by
Little Brisket, aka Wine Tooth.
Are you suggesting I get extra credits on the podcast? Extra. Because I'm in.
No.
Fire / Weinstein.
Those are actually two different characters.
I thought you said Splash Weinstein.
Yet another concept album. Yeah.
He only abuses glasses.
Splash Weinstein.
Full glasses of liquid.
Splash Weinstein.
What instrument would your would the rosé be?
I think the rosé is like I think he's like a backwoods violin player. Like it's a violin, like it's like it, so it's, I looked at the back too.
Say a fiddle.
Say yeah, like a fiddle. Okay, like, yeah. Like a European fiddler though. Yeah, like
a classically trained violinist that goes full fiddle.
Yeah, like someone who's like a savant, but they aren't necessarily classically trained.
Okay. Sure.
Like I looked at the back too, it's made entirely of Pinot Noir. So that's like a real classic sparkling wine grape, but there's just something kind of like rustic about it, but very fine at the same time. I think I'm gonna high end fiddling.
High end fiddling. And then Nick, to whiplash back to yours, Josh Prosecco, made from grapes in the northeastern Italy region, sparkling and bright, refreshing acidity, touch of sweetness from ripe fruit. You may smell scents of pear, green apples, and citrus. In the mouth, a light and effervescent provides a vibrant, racy texture.
Ooh, scandal.
That all plays.
Can I say what instrument my champagne was?
Of course.
Thank you. I think just because of how it tastes and what it was, it's like a fifth clarinet. It's like, because it's doing its job.
Fifth chair.
Yeah, fifth chair. Clarinet.
Clarinet.
Clarinet. Good boy. Clarinet.
Another concept album.
But because it's doing its job, but no one really cares. Maybe someone like a hardcore fan was like, hey, that's his chair. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah. They were a little sharp, so I heard them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They really stood out. I don't mean that politely.
That's a really, I would dread a review like that. We definitely heard you.
Well, you were loud enough. 3 stars.
That's pretty generous.
3 stars.
It's a 100-star scale. Peyton, do you want to go next, or I could go next?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
No, here we go. Here we go. Oh boy.
Sorry, this is one of the last things I'm going to do.
You got the TV.
I'm drinking the. I believe the correct pronunciation is Bollinger, but I feel much more comfortable saying Bollinger.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. Special Cuvée Brut. This is the bottom of the line Bollinger.
I'm pretty sure these are all non-vintage.
This is not, yeah, this is
one of us should have gotten like something really good, but whatever.
Well, this one still did cost me 60 some bucks. So.
What?
Oh yeah, this is legit.
Not the real shit. Yeah.
Damn, dude. All right, I take it back.
And I got it because Bollinger, their non-vintage champagnes are like pretty good. And the Binny said it had 92 on the
Wine Spectator.
No, actually, I think this one was a 96.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
I might be making that up. Anyway,
well, dig into it. Tell us about it, babe.
Yeah, let me take a drink. I've been drinking it, but I'm going to take a drink.
taking an official drink.
And he's got a little flute. And he's also got a glass that holds the...
Yeah, I would say that the instrument this reminds me of is a flute. But that's a glass. Honestly, what's weird about this is we're doing the 1 to 10 bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird that I have to compete with the rest of your bubbles, because I normally I would think that scale was like 1 is the worst thing you could have and 10 is the best thing you could imagine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, very few things in my life on that scale rate above like a 5.
Mm.
Like the best things I've ever had were like a 6. Because the best thing I can imagine is so far above anything that's ever happened to me. So when I hear you guys laying out 6s and 7s, I'm like, oh, like Audrey Hepburn, Whirlwind Romance.
Here he goes, upsetting the system again.
That's right. Well, to be fair, he couldn't taste them. So maybe if he tasted them, he would have also matched your scores.
Yeah, to be fair.
I want to say this about this. The bubbles, and this is weird to focus on, maybe, but they're so small and so like crisp against my tongue. Mm-hmm. And I know, here's the thing. If you drink a lot of like bubbly, sometimes they're fat and they suck.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes. Look at these fucking bubbles.
Those are tiny.
They're doing it.
Those are tiny bubbles.
Yeah, these Don Ho would be proud bubbles. Of them.
And this isn't crystal. I'm not getting the best bubbles.
No.
I'm getting bullshit glass bubbles.
They're not sending their best bubbles.
But look at it. Oh, man. They're stinging my lips. It's so good. I know that this is not, and Aaron kind of praised this earlier, but something I look for in like a better champagne experience, there's none of that like stinky bullshit aftertaste.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that you get with like a cheap champagne. Ooh. There's nothing. This is like Welch's white grape juice, but it's not. No, that sounds bad. No, I just mean like I'm tasting grape. I'm tasting a slightly toasty taste. I'm getting like a full palate of it and no. The aftertaste is pure, sort of like top notes of fruit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying, because like a lot of people, I mean, generally in drinking, a lot of people start with like cheap shit, and cheap champagne or bubbles in general will have that sort of like, especially if you're young, taste very sweet, and then just taste like alcohol, hard alcohol in the back palate, where you're just like, maybe I hate myself.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, this is a brut champagne, and it is dry. Like, when I say it's fruity, when I say it's like Welch's great white grape juice, like, it's just I'm getting a full fruit with no real extra sweetness, but no bitterness at the back end. And I'm not exaggerating to win this contest. This is the best champagne I've ever had.
Whoa!
Okay. And I dropped $70 on a fucking champagne a month ago, and it was not as good as this.
Oh,
do you want to name names? Let's out them.
I don't remember. It was a smaller negociant, and I don't remember their name. I bought it from a like local wine shop. It was a vintage champagne. But also, to be fair, I was drinking it after a year's sobriety.
Oh.
And the alcohol in it, like, hit me really hard.
Sure.
Like, in a way that was or like, getting drunk-wise?
No, taste-wise. Yeah, I mean, maybe I got drunk a little faster, but the taste-wise was I drank it and the alcohol was overwhelming. It was very much ew, this unbalanced. Is nasty.
Was that your very first drink after the year of sobriety, Peyton?
Yeah.
Was the champagne? Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. That must have been strange to taste.
Yeah, yeah, it was very weird. It was very much, it was too much. I should have saved the expensive drink. I should have, like, broken.
Had your legs back, your sea legs?
Yeah, I should have broken the horse in with something shitty and then drank the good thing.
Well, next time.
Gonna need next. A bubble score. We're gonna need a bubble score.
This is hard because my... Fuck you. My natural inclination is to give this like a 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you want to hear the tasting notes before you bubble score it?
Yeah, I might give it a different score based upon someone else's tasting notes.
Okay. 60% Pinot Noir, 25% Chardonnay, and 50% Meunier, sourced from over 300 crus, including 85 Grand and Premier crus, 15% fermented in old oak barrels. So from what I was reading, they kind of, for their non-vintage version of their champagne, they kind of crown royal it.
Oh.
So where they have a bunch of different source grapes, and they, you gotta mimosa it while I'm talking. They sort of funnel it in so that the non-vintage tastes consistently delicious. Which, I mean, is smart. I mean, if you're a big champagne house, why not?
Yeah, why not?
7.5 then after that.
Yep, all right, but right now...
That makes sense, 7.5
bubbles.
So I forgot to go get orange juice. So I found some oranges and some cuties in the house, and I blended them up and passed them through a chinois, and
you caved me.
This wasn't that long ago, so I threw them in the freezer, and I just ran out a minute ago and found them, and they actually hit that point where they're like, they're not frozen, but they're like a smoothie.
So this mimosa,
that sounds amazing, like
it's got a lot of pulp, but the pulp is smooth. Like it's got body to it. This is the best mimosa I've ever had.
It really does.
Slightly frozen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now remember the orange slightly... to cutie ratio. So two cuties is one orange. So if you want to give it a cutie score.
Yeah,
just factor that in as well.
I always give them a cutie.
Harvey, get out of here! You're creeping everyone out.
Banished.
Harvey Dent.
Here's the thing. This is a 9.
A 9?
Oh,
this is a 9 oranges. Like I said, it's got.
So that's like an 18 cutie.
But it's not even because there's a lot of the oranges are doing a lot. I said, I took oranges, I peeled them, I blend them in the Vitamix, and then I passed it. So you get no pulp, but you get a smooth puree.
Which sounds good. Frozen? I'd take
which
that.
Which is giving it, and then it got super cold.
Mm-hmm.
Best.
Yeah, you can't see it because, again, audio medium. He's staring at his glass and just enjoying love and life.
Yeah. Oh, God. He licked it deductively. Let's move on.
18 cuties. That's a good score.
That is a huge score. Joshy, what do you got, buddy?
Okay. Hello. My name is Josh. I've brought in for the class today a champagne that is near and dear to my heart. It's a Brut, product of France. 12% alcohol by volume, 57 millilitres. It's Kirkland Signature's own champagne. Hashtag bulk boys. Look for our pilot episode in April. As we know, I'm a big Kirkland Signature fan.
Yeah, you are.
I was getting that cheap brisket prime. I saw this bad boy and I just had to pick it up. There was only a few bottles left. Now everybody knows Kirkland Signature has their own Prosecco.
Oh.
Is their champagne going to hold up?
Let's find out.
I'm digging in right now. Here we go. This is for all the marbles. Again, tiny bubbles. We were talking about that.
Yeah. Tiny bubbles.
My head turn around.
He's drinking. He's taking a sip, listeners. He's swishing. He's doing that like thing with the whatever it's called, slurping.
That's moderate acidity. fresh fruit. Maybe there's like a nice little stone fruit in the middle.
Oh, maybe an
apple.
Finishes
price,
very
man.
Clean.
I was gonna get
with a delightful after palate. Yeah, very drinkable for $20, $19.99.
That's not bad.
A real champagne.
Yeah.
It's a real champagne. Okay, cut out the bullshit. I'll give it a bubble score. 8 bubbles.
Oh!
8 bubbles, easy.
Peyton is so livid.
I don't see why. Let's get to those tasting notes. From the Seattle Times.
You know, here's the thing. It's the extent to which he didn't even think about it.
I've been drinking it for 5 people show and tell.
It's like he opened a time capsule a year ago that predicted it was going to have 8 bubbles, and he's been waiting since then to say the words 8 bubbles.
You know, when you know, baby.
That's what they say.
Seattle Times, made by the Champagne House. Jonathan, where the Grand Cru is located on Varese, France, the Brut is a proprietary
manure
Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Oh,
pretty orange.
You say manure.
M-E-U-N-I-E-R.
Manure.
Yeah.
And in that, Peyton, our champagne shares a varietal.
Pinot
Noir,
Chardonnay,
manure in yours. Sure. Orange blossom.
There's only like 4 grapes that you can use. 3 grapes that you can use in a champagne. So, manure,
shades of freshly baked bread, which all mend in the glass.
Shades
layers
of, baked
of
bread.
Japanese pear and baking spice. Mingle with kumquat zest and starfruit tones for a dusting of salinity. Hey, bubbles, baby. You can't be... Oh, yeah, and I got to orange it.
Yeah,
sorry,
orange it up.
One second. Bobby, Phil.
Oh, Phil. Orange juice is delicious and full of vitamin C to keep away that horrible scurvy. Have a glass every day with your breakfast. And if you're an adult, late at night with vodka.
Wow, somehow better. 10 oranges. That's 20
like,
cuties,
that's
baby.
That's 20 cuties.
I could have bought dinner for my girlfriend. Instead of having a nice champagne and being honest about it.
20 cuties. Oh, wow. I just can't believe it. To come in at the last minute and just dunk
this
on everybody.
This is what Peyton does. He upsets the fucking scaling system, and then he comes at you like
Kirkland Brand, the liar.
You
shit.
Are using a priori knowledge.
Yeah, it's got to come from France. It's got it does what it says.
You prejudge this champagne when you came out of the womb.
What we all did different ratios for the mimosa, so that's kind of hard to. To gauge, ideally, is it like 2-1 with
that
champagne?
Seems like a failure of the podcast, doesn't it?
To not teach? You're right. This is a teaching podcast.
It is?
That's right. That's why you see the orderlies coming around.
Oh,
welcome to Learning Bottles.
What?
fifth concept album.
Learning Bottles?
Hypothetical this, OJ?
This is a bottle. This is a can. Oh.
Class dismissed.
Around the corner. Fudges, man.
What?
Wait a minute. Take off that mask. It's Harvey Firewine, Steve.
Get out of here, you creep.
Drink some of my fire wine.
No. It's got chili peppers in it.
Well, we've all given our bubble scores. I'm going to recap it. Bobby's. I can't read my own handwriting. It just says grand is 6 bubbles, 7 oranges.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Blyden's Rosé, 8 bubbles, 5 oranges.
Okay.
And is a fiddle player. Oh, Peyton, we didn't get your instrument. We'll get to it. Josh, the Prosecco, not the person. 5 bubbles, 7 OJs is a bass instrument. Fiddle player, 5th chair, clarinet. The Bollinger? 7.5 bubbles. Ooh. Third lowest score. And nine oranges or 18 cuties. And we got to know what instruments it's going to be, Peyton.
I don't play an instrument.
All right, the voice.
What's the, no. It's the hands.
The hands.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm sorry to say, when we played in the voice isn't an instrument, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, boy.
I need to rethink my life like I do.
And then a real champagne that made the wish and became a real little boy. Open signature.
Did it though, or is it in that transitional period where it's talking but it's still made of wood?
Eight bubbles, 20 cuties, and oh man, what instrument would it be? I think first chair trumpet.
Sousaphone?
What?
But you got it.
Yeah,
in
yeah, yeah,
but
it's a cheap trumpet, but it looks nice.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's a busker's trumpet. Man, can that guy wail?
What instrument do lyres play? Oh, the lyre.
Oh.
Well, I guess this is pretty much finished up. No.
No, you drink the rest of that on this podcast. You drink it all.
$2. $2.
Because it's so good. It's so good you need to drink
it. It is good. Have you not had it? I'll send you a bottle.
Please.
Send him a bottle.
It's only $20.
That's not. It's a steal.
Yeah, well, with an $18 postal payment?
I'm very much convinced that everything, I mean, within reason, can also be adjudicated within its price, too.
For yeah, sure.
There's a negotiation you make with how much you pay and what you get. And sometimes you, like, luck out with something that's, like, inexpensive. Like, that's what you want, right? It's, like, inexpensive but great.
Yeah. Nothing. And that's, I feel like, truly, that's, like, the big win. Inexpensive but great. Yeah, that's 5 stars.
I agree. I mean, I think that like when I buy bubbles, I buy there's La Marca Prosecco.
No, yeah, not familiar.
It's good. It's a blue label.
I think it's very good, and it's like $12 for a bottle.
Oh,
there's a.
I think it's excellent.
Gruet, a New Mexican winery. Makes a pretty decent bubbles, sparkling wine, and their rosé is pretty good.
Okay.
And that's similar in like the $20 range.
That's what I was saying earlier about like it's hard to discern because again it was my first drink coming to the New Year's, but that $70 bottle that I bought, which was vintage champagne, it was good, but I was a little disappointed. I think this is better. It's like. Almost.
Do you drink fruit before earth, or do you prefer it the other way around? Like, do you
never
like
drink fruit before earth?
Yeah, I don't understand
Leviticus 25:16. No fruit before earth.
I don't keep kosher, so that doesn't affect
on champagne. On most wine, I like an earthiness. On so champagne,
sort of, yeah.
I mean, if I could get an earthiness, I don't think that there's a lot of champagne I've tasted that has a, like, forward earthiness over a fruitiness.
I've definitely had some, like, minerally champagnes.
Mineral, I love. I love in any wine I can get. If I can get a mineral forward wine that's going to, like, really hairy my Sally.
So,
that's what people say, right? Harry McSally?
Sure, in the 90s. Yeah.
Bobby, it's just a way to describe like what you're tasting.
Oh.
Like, it tastes like sweeter, it tastes like fruit. That's sort of a bigger bucket to put your preference in.
Man, it's so my palate is not great because all red wines taste the same to me. All white wines taste the same. And all champagnes taste the same. Maybe I'll be like, "Oh, this is a little better," but it's all the same.
Yeah.
To my my Midwest palate, it's all mayonnaise.
Doesn't matter. It don't matter. the French champagne question for you guys. There was a rumor. Now, I think if we all put our heads together, gave them a little applause, we could get them up on stage and play a little music for us. Is that true?
Oh,
right, we got. Oh, yeah. That is enough for us. That amount of applause is more than enough.
That's a good time we've ever had.
A smattering of a smattering.
Jesus Christ. Like, we rehearsed even, and it was like, this is foreign.
This notion. Well, it is French.
Yeah.
That's just very Western.
Yeah, it's been over a year since we've had a gig. Like,
oh, geez.
Why?
The bad manager.
The bad manager touched me.
Look at the mirror, Harvey.
Oh, Harvey.
This is something that... do you want the up-tempo or the ballad?
we'll get to both, but give us one now, and then we'll do a little business afterwards.
All right. Sounds good. Which one do you want to do?
Let's do Out of Price.
All right. We're going to invite Nick's roommate in with us, a good friend of ours.
Hey Alex, yeah.
Oh, he's right around the corner. He's what a pro.
Oh, perfect.
Has he just been standing there? Hey. This is so sad.
He's like just barely out of frame for like the past 20 minutes.
That is so, why would you do that?
Give him a drink. A
desperate need to please, mostly.
Sure, I get that.
Do you have
that,
a drink? Yeah. Give him a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get a glass. All
right, alcohol, that thing.
All right, we've gotten the roommate. He's drinking the rosé, looks like. Ask him if he can taste the tart red currant, rhubarb, and strawberry.
That's crazy, as I was exactly about to say tart red currant, rhubarb, and strawberry.
That guy knows his champagne.
Yeah, this guy's an artist. Let's see, I see a guitar coming in a frame, another guitar. There's been an upright bass in the back for years.
I took it up. I took up the upright bass this past year.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a pretty good instrument.
Have you mastered the spin?
Yes. That was the first thing to master.
We had a song. We had an upright. We wanted an upright on. We had a couple of different people we wanted to get, and they all, like, sort of, they couldn't do it. And Nick was like, I'm just going to learn it myself.
Because I wrote the part on the electric bass, and then, you know, anyway.
Yeah, different sound.
All right, I think we're going to do it.
Isn't it time? Isn't it time? Isn't it time? Start the day in the way. They sold it to you and you bought it, yeah. Wasn't the time to call the shots? Wasn't the time to make it real? Wasn't the time to call your mom? Oh, I've got some time for you to steal.
Man, that was great. That was awesome.
Hot dog.
Aaron, what are you playing, like a xylophone? What is that?
Yeah, I got a little set of bells.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't see you set it up, so I was just like, what's he hitting?
As a member of French Champagne, you're welcome.
Thank you, Peyton.
Thank you, Peyton. Boys, hot damn. I believe David Letterman said it best when he said, "You are the roof of the dome."
Wow, it's the first time we played for a crowd for forever.
You guys sound great.
You call this a crowd?
Yeah. I think I would. We have a couple of openers also in the audience. Yeah, hot damn, boys, and that's off the new album.
Yeah, that's the opening track.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about it.
We wrote
it in Maine. I feel like I was Peyton. I feel like I was a little thing that Peyton was throwing around in car rides.
Yeah. And, what was the origin of that?
It's Peyton. We went through this process of taking things that we had come up with and making them more serious.
We call it.
It was initially Peyton sitting in the back seat of Nick's Buick Skylark, like 92 Skylark, just in the back, just sitting out, looking out the window wistfully, going, and he goes, "That was the time I fell off." And the melody sounded so like familiar to me for some reason, and I naturally, so it was and I finished the phrase. It was like,
but we call it
and then we just moved it away.
The scrambled eggs method.
Scrambled eggs method.
And it really, to me, and I think at least Aaron agrees, and I think we all agreed that it sounded like a Billy Joel song.
Yeah.
You know? That came along later. I never thought about that. But you guys said it later, and I was like,
I remember when we first had the sketch of the tune. It was like, this sounds like a Billy Joel song. But, you know.
It was just kind of declarative and kind of cheesy, but like...
Mm-hmm.
There is something like very heartfelt behind it too. We kind of like settled on it being like about, it's like from the point of view of a time salesman. And as we worked on it more and more, like we're always like, this is cheese, but like we can't get it out of ours. We have to like make it a reality.
Cheese.
Yeah. Sweet cheese. True cheese. Like, uncut cheese.
Who cut the uncut cheese? No, it's a great, it's a really good song. I want to hear it again, truthfully.
Yeah. And Bobby wouldn't lie, because he doesn't like a lot of things.
Aaron, you heard it. Do it again. Do it again.
No, I'll listen. I'll...
Yeah. Listen to the...
How can people find your music, please?
Bandcamp.com/ The French Champagne.
Yeah, it looks so.
The album
sure.
is called The Quaalude Swing. It's not quite out. I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but probably before the album does. French Champagne on Bandcamp. You can find them on Facebook as well.
And pretty soon we'll have it on all the streaming stuff. You know.
Spotify's and the, you know, and the.
We're just waiting for the, like, it to be just fully done, and then it'll be like released en masse and all.
Awesome. Those,
like,
streaming services. Can't wait.
Yeah. We released that song, and we released one other song already.
Well, maybe we'll hear that one in a few minutes. And then also, if you send me any of, if anything's, I mean, I don't know if I can rip it from Bandcamp, but if you want to send me anything, I can put it at the end of the pod as well.
Yeah, happy to do that.
But I had a question before we get to the next song. I want to know what everybody's favorite memory involving either a French champagne or a non-French champagne, vintage or non, just a sparkling beverage, preferably alcoholic, because we're talking about champagnes, not a carbonated soda. What that memory is, and just tell us a little bit about it.
I can go first, Josh. If I want to. Yeah. So what first came to my mind was, goodness. 4 years ago, I was on a cruise ship working for Second City. And I was on during, like, the major holidays from December to about, early May. And for New Year's Eve on a cruise ship, since it's traveling, you celebrate a new year every hour for about 6 hours. Yeah, so there is champagne flowing everywhere from, like, 10 p.m. till about 3 in the morning. God, I got drunk that night on just the worst champagne. But it was very fun. It was only like my second week on the cruise. It was all just like still new and fun and just, yeah, it was wild. It was cool. Everyone got all dressed up. It was great.
Aww.
Yeah, it was fun. And it was just the cheapest champagne. I didn't even know the brand. I just remember there was on the actual like deck of the ship, there were just like, they took all these like table tennis tables, shoved them together, and it was just filled with glasses of champagne for people to just come and grab. It was great.
Was it the coupe glasses or was it flutes?
No, it was like little coupe glasses.
Yeah, remember we were talking about the titty?
Yeah, it was the titty glass. Yeah.
The titty.
A champagne glass meant to look like a woman's breast.
Marie Antoinette.
That's right.
But it's a Parker bowl.
Yeah.
Like,
does it fit?
Voice. I guess Rob is a body.
Is he still hiding out? He can be out here now.
You just said Nick's roommate, but what was his name?
His name is Alex.
Get on camera.
Hi. I'm just so comfortable out of frame. Hi, I'm Alex. I live with Nick.
Nice to have
you. Alex, any champagne memories?
Oh, man.
Caviar dreams?
Yeah, I'll say probably my favorite champagne memory. I used to run the bar program at a small Italian place here in D.C., and one of my regulars had a pretty deep cellar, and he came in around Christmas with this really dope Psalm from New York. Who I think is awesome, Ariel RC, look her up. She's cool as hell, especially champagne related. And he says, "Hey, I have someone I want you to meet." And I assume it's the human being he's walked in with. And he pulls out from behind his back a bottle of super dope grower champagne rosé with googly eyes stuck to the front of it. And also like, I'll pray to that forever.
Fire
wine.
That's funny.
Nice. Good memory.
Champagne memory?
Champagne memory.
Wow. I'll share one. It's not really a specific, I think it is a specific one actually. And it goes back to,
nope.
I probably realized this at an earlier point in my life, but, when we did the first writing retreat for this album that we're talking about in Maine, Peyton and Aaron both flew to Maine after I was living there for a little while.
And they ran you out, right? That's why you're back in D.C.?
And they ran me out. No. I remember, like, you know, maybe this is a big share, but, like, we had taken some LSD.
Oh,
nice. I just never, we had a bottle of, I don't even know, I don't think it was good. It was just some bubbles, but it never and it never tasted so good to me. And that's a distinct memory I have with Bubbles.
Nice.
Because also I didn't really want anything except water. Sure. Like I didn't, like when you're on acid, like I didn't want food. I didn't want like normal things that you want. I didn't want any of that. But like then we had this whatever, probably some cheap Bubbles, and it was just the best thing ever.
Did you have that in addition to water, or like, you know, mix it
up? Yeah, probably had some water too
at some point. Yeah.
He just had water. He thinks it was Bubbles.
Don't tell him. It's a good memory. It's just a soda.
It could have been.
We turned water into champagne. champagne memories. I still love this phrase. Wow, of all of them. Concept, right? I have two. Rob, you reminded me of one because I worked on a ship for Second City as well.
Oh, no shit.
And I was also on that ship on New Year's.
Oh.
And we did a cabin crawl from all seven of our cabins, yeah. And everyone prepared a different like cocktail and snack. And we these cabins are super fucking small, so yeah, like seven, yeah, of them cramming into these like basically closet sized rooms.
Oh, it was great.
Wonderful.
Which one were you on? What ship?
I was on the Norwegian Epic.
Oh, I was on the Gem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gem is cursed? Is that what
it was? No, the Gem, I think it was, but before I got on it, they had redone the whole thing, so it was like new.
Okay.
So it felt nice.
I heard people use that as like a mantra. Seamus MacArthur is on my ship with me. He's like that Second City performer, and he was always like, Gem is cursed.
Oh.
He would just say it. Like it was a Pavlovian response.
Wasn't cursed for me. I had a great time.
Yeah. Good memories from Bobby's telling.
But the other one was just recently, actually. Oh. I turned 33 last month.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Yeah. Thank Congratulations. You.
And my parents came down to my place from, they live about an hour and change away from
you. Want
me
to shout them out? They're going to listen.
Stan and Edna.
Dan and Edna, great names.
Yeah, good parents, man.
Just the best 50s kids names. they deliver too on every part of that. I love them dearly, and they, for all of their, like, my mom has been like very wary of this pandemic. She's like been like adamant about masks from the beginning. Like they've been very, my dad has scaled back on being in person his job. So like they've been really good about this pandemic, but they were like adamant about celebrating my birthday with
me.
Oh,
wow.
And they came to my place with their own like little fire pit and their own lawn chairs and a cake and two bottles of Vuplico.
Oh, hell yeah.
In a styrofoam cooler on ice. And we sat out on my back porch with a couple. Nick was there. My roommates were there. And we were all just sitting in a circle outside. Like, and they were just determined to have a good time with me on my birthday.
Oh,
and it was like the last thing that I fucking wanted to do. I just wanted to be left alone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, screw my birthday, screw this whole thing. But they were like, no, we're having fun.
Oh.
And it was cold out too.
And it was cold out and we're all having a good time. And that champagne tasted so good. I know it's just like, like Vuv is great, but it's also just like very much like it's the standard nice champagne you'll find in any supermarket.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was great. And it was it's something about you just have to be in the right place.
Yeah.
If something can be good, but you might not be in the right place to drink it, but like that was perfect.
Yeah.
Everything about it was perfect. Man. And I didn't expect it.
10 bubbles.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's, yeah, 10 bubbles.
10 bubbles.
25 cuties.
Yeah, the bubbles to cuties ratio is a little different than the bubbles off. The orange to cuties. PBJ, you want to go? Or you want to go last?
Yeah. Yeah, I know this is going to sound bullshit, but like, I mean, after this like hard year, my favorite like bubbles like champagne memory is right now.
Oh,
Really?
No, but seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, too late.
Too late. Moving on.
Wait, oh, goddammit.
You wasted it.
Harvey does it again.
Harvey, you son of a bitch.
He gaslit the whole goddamn room.
You remember when we used to do Josh is who I'm addressing right now.
That's right, me. Not this, not the Prosecco.
At home. We used to do New Year's parties all the time, every year, for years and years.
You might be saying one of mine, yeah.
But, I mean, we used to have, like, 100 people come to these parties.
They were big parties.
And we wouldn't buy the best champagne. We'd go to Benny's here in Chicago and buy the, like...
The Ivanhoe Castle.
$4 a bottle.
We literally asked them, what is the cheapest case we can buy?
I don't think we ever did that, you liar. I think we just walked through the aisles and found the champagne. It was easy to find. Once again, you fucking liar.
This is my story, too, because this was going to be one of my
memories. Yeah, they were labeled. And we would buy, but here's the thing. We didn't do bullshit about it. We bought a case of champagne. The cheapest champagne we buy cases of it, and we would spend money on these fucking parties, money we didn't have.
True.
None of us had good jobs, and there was one fucking party we had cases of champagne, we had food, and it was midnight, and everyone fucking popped these bottles and started singing Auld Lang Syne, and then about 20 people in the dark with the, like, I don't even remember, like, red robe lights or whatever, like, this fucking LSD hell that we had going on, started singing, should old acquaintance be forgot, should old acquaintance be forgot, should old acquaintance be forgot, should old acquaintance be forgot.
There's video of this somewhere.
There was video of this for 20 minutes as we conga-lined around the apartment in this, like, sordid Weimar Republic. Like, you know, this imaginary hellhole happening. Drinking champagne and just repeatedly chanting, should old acquaintance be forgot for... I mean, again... There's video of this, and the video itself is 13 minutes long, but what happened was 20 minutes long, and it felt like about 5 hours, and that's my best champagne moment.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a good party. That was at your place. It wasn't Kyler. What street was that?
It was the place on Pine Grove.
Pine Grove, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of those parties, and they were fun.
The good party, yeah.
I missed out on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this specifically in the video, Eric Ironman, former improviser, current, I think he's a therapist now. Just like that, the happiest face. Just so happy to be singing it on repeat. And then the conga line. That was a good one. Peyton, did you want to share any more champagne memories? Hashtag champagne memories.
Wait, more? I don't want to
steal from you. All right,
an extra one. Oh, just now. What great fun to be on this Pop and Bottles podcast.
That'll all get cut up. So my memory is a little similar. I get final edit. But it wasn't that party. It was one of the first parties that we had, a New Year's party. It was at mine, Brian Hurwitz, and Tyler Smith's apartment on Clark Street. And that's we used to ring in East Coast New Year's, being from there. But it was one of the same thing. We bought at least a case of champagne and champagne in quotation marks, and we passed it all out right before midnight. And I remember, like, everybody had their glasses and were ready. And then we strategically were like, "Here, you go take this and stand in this part of the room. You go take this and stand in this part of the room." And we're all gonna pop it at midnight, and then just kind of like pour it all around, and then we all toasted. And
we did that every year.
I'm standing on a couch, and it goes off like clockwork. Like, it was just a very, like, I was also probably already good and drunk,
Yeah.
But like popping it at midnight and then like seeing everybody from like a little bit higher up, just everybody's like, you know, party, celebration, New Year renewal. Very fun. It was a very fun memory. Second to that, when I got engaged, we did it at the Frontera. And I had called ahead and I was like, hey, I'm going to pop the question right before dessert. I would love it if you had a bottle of sparkling ready to go. And like just I said the words, brought the ring out, and then right when she said yes, the server was right behind me, and it felt like a movie. Like it was like their timing was perfect.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it just was really nice.
Is that the instrument for like the best champagne there is? Is just the guy who has the timing on the
yeah.
The instrument for the best champagne. Is a conductor.
He can't see it, but he's looking stone faced.
Hashtag choo choo.
Hashtag choo choo. But those are our champagne memories. Boys, we got to get out of here. It's getting late.
Yeah, I'm getting tired.
Anything you guys want to push, pull, or plug besides the new, yet to be released album? But it's cooking. It's in the kitchen, man. You got to give the chef time. You're going to love what you eat.
Plated, that's all. Just,
yeah, plating it out. We just got to
plate it out. Get the wipe the edges. Anything else? You guys are... we've talked a lot about comfort entertainment during quarantine. Maybe with a musician's eye. Is there like a comfort music or album or style that you guys always return to that sort of like brings you hope? Is that a big question?
For me personally, jazz is kind of, is like catharsis. Mm. So like, pretty important. Like what, like especially because it can be so like impressionistic, or it can take on wherever you're at. Sorry, I'm not speaking well because I drank a whole bottle of Prosecco. You know. That helps me personally.
If somebody wasn't into jazz, where should they start?
Where should they start? Oh shit!
Fuck you! Fuck you!
I don't know. I mean, just like where would you start? Start with, depends on what you like, but start. I don't know. Kind of Blue. Kind of Blue by Miles Davis.
Good album.
Never heard of it, but I'm sure it's good.
Really good.
I know it.
Gosh, don't lie.
Yeah. This is Kind of Boo, like B-O-O?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we'll put that in the show notes.
Good for Halloween.
The disembodied head in the background. Any comfort entertainment or music you want to push?
I've really been taking a lot of joy in Sturgill Simpson's couple progress albums he just put out this past year.
Yeah, they are good.
Just a big warm string band.
Man. That voice, what a great voice too.
Yeah, he's kind of good. Just hip to him more recently, but that kind of also amazing that a bluegrass album of a guy's covers of his own songs. I'm fucking serious. This guy, like top of like iTunes charts for a album of covers of his own songs in a bluegrass style. So like sold like hotcakes. Like it's very inspiring to know that can like seep through the noise.
It doesn't hurt either that his band is just hot backing him up on those bluegrass albums.
I'll have to check those out.
Deeply sexy mandolin playing.
I came sort of prepared because I know you have that. I love your show, by the way. Oh, the two of you.
Thank you.
I listen to it kind of religiously, especially because surviving in this time, I drive a lot of deliveries. I'm on the road a lot.
Oh, sure.
And I'm delivering booze too.
God's work. You're doing God's work.
I've been in beverage like my whole life. My dad's got a liquor store. Like it's part of who I am. So listening to the show is also like, every time, like, it doesn't matter if it's like soda or if it's like some fine alcoholic product or anywhere in between. I like listen to it, but I love the segment about like where you'd rather be.
Oh, nice.
And I'd come up with like a like kind of a very grim fantasy.
Tell us. No, this is perfect.
Will you humor me?
You want to say this, or do you want to? Yeah, let's drop it now.
I want to talk about it. Maybe to my detriment, but it starts with like I have definitely a fear of flying and a fear of heights generally. And more so for taking off and landing.
Okay, rather than being in the air.
Yeah.
Being in the air itself, like anytime there's like a rumble, I'm like, ah, my stomach fucking drops. And I always fear, especially at landing, that you're going to hear the pilot yell from the cockpit.
We're going down.
some guttural scream, and you're gonna, you know it's it.
Yeah. Not from being busted, from being jerked off by a flight attendant.
That ghost hand. but I have this, like, especially within this pandemic, I have this fantasy of like, I'm in first class, I'm flying, but I don't know where. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually kind of liking it because once I'm up in the air and I'm in first class, it's like, it's fantastic. And you can hear, like, they're playing music. They're playing music for everyone at kind of like a faint volume. And it's April in Paris.
Oh.
It's the big band April in Paris by Count Basie.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And at the end of the tag, the first time around the tag, Count Basie says, "One more time." I'm on this plane, right? And it turns out Count Basie is actually the fucking pilot. And he's on the overhead. He's also, one of his nicknames was, I think, like the chief or the captain or something like that. So this all kind of makes sense. And then it's like a Mel Brooks movie. It's like people in first class like bust out their trombones and they're playing the flag. It's live. And it turns out that the plane is never going to land. But we're going to this great club in the sky.
This is a good thing. Okay.
And that's what death is.
Okay.
That's what death is. It doesn't hurt. It's not scary. No. It's just drifting to the great like jazz club in the sky.
When you die, there's an afterlife. Yeah.
There's an afterlife.
Yeah, it's a fucking party, baby.
Yeah, Count Basie welcomes you with open arms.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm enjoying some bubbles, you know, with all these bubble bros.
Hashtag bubble bros.
Hashtag bubble bros. It's our other spinoff.
Yeah, that's
smells a little funky, but kind of good. Yeah.
Tart strawberries.
You want to grab that nylon string?
We doing the thing?
I think so. Well, well, close to
it. Peyton, any comfort entertainment? Anything you want to push pull?
Comfort entertainment? No, yeah. Baby.
What you been busy with?
Dude, I love TV. And I'm not going to fucking excuse it because it's my... I love TV more than I love my mother's nipple. Like, I fucking... You know what I mean? Like, it's my deep, deep desire. Not my deep, deep desire is to watch TV.
See, I love TV.
That's what I've
it's
heard.
It's not hiding anything else. It's what I always wanted when I came out of the womb. Yeah. People didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it.
Yeah. Your mother would nurse you on the channel.
Yeah, she nursed me on that bullshit nipple milk. And it turned out what I wanted was not that bullshit mother nipple milk. It was the TV.
Mm.
What am I on to now? Here's what I'm on to now. Rewatching Hannibal, which I believe was on CBS. Excellent show. Excellent show. Hannibal. Go back and watch it. Brian Fuller, the showrunner who did Dead Like Me,
Did you Pushing Daisies?
Who did Wonderfalls, yeah. Pushing Daisies. He did the first season of American Gods before they kicked him out.
got to go.
Hannibal. Great show. Best show ever in terms of like pornographic cinematography of food preparation, which works great in the show. Here's the... I don't think he wanted this, but if you want the pornographic food preparation, Hannibal.
And
that's a show.
And knowing get it, what I know sure. about Peyton, that is like twice up your alley.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a professional cook, and I'm playing that shit.
Bottle of Josh.
Harry Nilsson, great, great guy. Listen to the music of Harry Nilsson. Love him. The Point. You should watch it. I don't know. Am I just supposed to scattershot randomly tell you things that people should be interested in?
No, probably. Things that you've enjoying right now.
But I think we can also wrap up.
Yeah. You're getting the light from
you're getting the light from Rob. I'm tired.
It's fair.
Rob said a little Bob, anything you want to push pull? Give him the light.
No, that's good.
All right, good. Me, Pop and Pod and all your socials. Look for us and look for this album when it comes out. I'm excited. Speaking of talented musicians, the French Champagne is gonna play us out, and then. Stay tuned after the credits for maybe a sneak peek of the studio version.
Ooh.
Is that right, gentlemen?
This is the title song from the album, but we have not released this yet, actually.
Oh.
And this is a little more, this is called The Coil of Swing. And this is we feel like it's definitive of like this sort of genre we're exploring or whatever. I think it's kind of apt for the times, but we just like singing it.
Creature, ooh, stay longer, please.
We're out, boys. That's a wrap. That's it. Hot diggity dog.
That was great.
Patreon great demands stuff. It.
Wow. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. That was great. Thank you for your talent. I love those songs.
Wine makes you nutty. There's more.
But I'll try them all over again. Cognac keeps you peppy. Rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink, but it'll keep you on the run. Whenever you want a drink or two, choose the drink that pleases you. Drink your mash, talk your trash. That is the right thing to do.
Isn't it time you had it all? Isn't it time you got your fill? Isn't it time you worked it out? Look at the time you got it still. You start the day the way you end it. Hold up in your room pretending. A little bit of fun never hurt anyone. This doesn't feel like fun, what is this? Isn't it time you call? Wasn't there